always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday. You've almost made it through the worst day of the week. Welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. We'll get you the rest of the way home or out and about as the case may be. Welcome back to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Tim Jones, ready for another big week ahead. Chris Harps standing right here by my side, along with producer Joey V. All three of us back together again. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. This is going to be a huge this week with our debate that we're going to be having at Johnny's. Everyone is anticipating how will President Biden handle a 90-minute debate standing on his feet with no notes. Wondering will he be able to, does he have enough stamina to do that? So I am super, super excited about this week, this debate, Johnny's, the whole nine.
We have a fantastic week for all y'all, despite the fact, or besides the fact, or in addition to the fact that we have five fantastic shows along with all of our other programming. As Chris mentioned, we have the debate watch party, and tomorrow night, you know, folks, there's still a few tickets left out there. I wouldn't wait any longer. I'd grab them while you can because space is limited. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about saving America. Boy, is I don't know how Jeff Allen does it. The title of this, right on the heels of Joe Biden's policy showing that America has become an extremely dangerous place to live, work, and raise a family. Saving America 2024, the economy, and the courts. We are bringing in two fantastic spokespeople to address that. Joel Griffith and Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation. Can you believe we got both of them? We did. We have an expert on the economy in Joel Griffith. And of course, you all know Zach Smith, who we've had on our program almost, I think, since the very beginning, and experts on the courts and the law. Tomorrow night, Chris, I, Joey, the entire gang, we're going to be at the St. Charles Funny Bone, the streets of St. Charles from, let's see, I think we have a VIP event, and then we kick off the show around 6:30. 7 o'clock, somewhere around there. I don't know. Tomorrow's going to be kind of a crazy day because we're going to be doing the show and they're going to be rushing over there. But, we're going to be kicking off, I think, at 7 o'clock. We're going to be, taking questions from the audience, from all of you. It's going to be an exciting discussion. Chris, we had a great event last year with Jim Talent and Dakota Wood. So this is a continuation of a series of us bringing the experts to you and having you involved in the conversation. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be really great talking to Zach Smith tomorrow, because as you know, Tim, this is the last week that the Supreme Court will be in session. So we're expecting a number of important decisions this week. One of them, of course, is the January 6th immunity decision, and have Zach with us tomorrow to talk about these pending cases. Hear him live, it's going to be excellent. And, you know, in live, being live, we'll have more time to explore this more in depth than we would in our normal radio interviews.
Boy, you're so right about that. That is such a great point, Chris. There's going to be a cascade of hand downs this week, because we only have this week and next. Actually, no, pretty much this week. I think they're going to wrap things up this week, because yeah, the end of this week is the end of June. I doubt they will want to leave anything and come back next week, because we have the Independence Day holiday next Thursday. So they're probably going to dump everything by the end of this week. There's some huge cases, and so we'll be discussing things, as you said, more in depth. I found the details. Doors at 6:30 tomorrow, event at 7 o'clock. It is at the Funny Bone, St. Charles. Thank you so much to our sponsors, West News Magazine, Mid Rivers News Magazine, and the St. Louis Young Republicans. We just found out from Jeff Allen that we have a huge crowd that have snagged tickets already. There are still some left, but folks, this is going to sell out as we predicted. Just go to newstalkstl.com. I wouldn't wait a single second longer. Newstalkstl.com, Saving America 2024. You just click on the giant banner, scroll down just a hair, and it's right there.
And speaking of the Supreme Court today, they announced, Tim, that they are going to hear a case next session called United States versus Scrimeti. It's brought by multiple transgender plaintiffs and their families against a Tennessee law prohibiting minors from receiving puberty blockers. So, as you know, that is a big issue across the nation. We had an issue of that here in the United States, or here in St. Louis with Washington University doing transgender surgeries. And so the Supreme Court will tackle this next term. The Biden administration joined the case in support of the families. Mm-hmm. Again, oral arguments mm-hmm. to take place this fall.
Yep, Kristen, as we've pointed out, as the United Kingdom and most of continental Europe seems to be turning away from this weird witchcraft of mutilating children and physically assaulting them courtesy of surgical instruments, we here in the United States haven't quite gotten the message yet as to why this is a really, really bad idea. The American, I think, College of Pediatrics came out last week with a very virulent statement against this. There's a bunch of competing pediatric associations. This is one of the national ones, and they came out and said, enough with all this hocus pocus. We need to knock this off. This is destroying our youth and creating a whole generation of people that you know, would otherwise not exist, and that's people who are suffering from this gender dysphoria or maybe even in their own minds. There was a study that came out last week that said nearly all kids, what, Chris, outgrow this, and like this notion that, you know, they have to go through this phase in life before they learn what me is and what I am, and it takes a few years, and then they are the biological gender that they are.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. I have in my stack a years-long study shows the overwhelming majority of young people who identify as transgender will grow out of the diagnosis within 5 years. A similar supermajority of trans-identifying people suffered from at least one other psychological condition. Found researchers who tracked all children and young adults diagnosed with gender dysphoria over a 9-year period. So overwhelmingly, these children within 5 years grow out of this. And unfortunately, for some people that have had this surgery, they can't be reversed. They're sterile. They won't be able to have children. They have ruined their lives because they were told this was going to make them, quote unquote, happy.
So I have to ask you, you just read a factual story about a factual set of circumstances. Does that make us whatever ist they want to attach to us, or is that actually the science? You know what I mean?
I'm going to go with the science. I mean, this is a years-long study. It was done by the Central Institute for Statutory Health Insurance in Germany, reviewed all the medical billing records from the nation's healthcare providers for insured people between the ages of 5 and 24 diagnosed with gender identity disorders from 2013 to 2022 for 9 years. And they tracked all these records, and that it showed that a majority of these people grew out of that diagnosis.
I love it. I love it. Chris also mentioned that this is going to be a week of debate, debate, and more debate. Yes, the first presidential debate. We haven't had a debate along this level, at this level, in 4 years, 4+ years. We have a debate watch party to watch this big kahuna of all debates. Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge this Thursday. I think this thing is going to be packed. Chris, I'm getting lots of text messages from people saying, I'm looking forward to seeing you at the debate, blah, blah, blah. What time should we get there? Chris and I are going to broadcast from 4 to 6 p.m. You can come for that broadcast. We'd love to have you there. We'll be sitting in cool comfort inside of Johnny's near the main stage where they have all the musical acts, along with producer Joey V. We'll wrap up about 6 o'clock. We'll have a little dinner. Maybe we'll buy an adult beverage or two. And then Chris and I and the entire lineup, we expect to see Vic Porcelli there and Ken Williams and Mike Ferguson and Gabe Pfeiffer and Stell and Columbo and Katie, the whole gang. I think Joe and Jeff will be there as well. Larry Connors. We're going to have as many people as we can pack in the place. We're going to be starting the party at 7 p.m. We'll do a little pregame, a little official pregame at 7:30, where we'll all chat with you briefly, and then we will crank up the televisions and watch those 40 big screens at Johnny's and watch the debate watch party.
Mm-hmm. You know, a big 2-year anniversary today. Dobbs' decision was brought down today, 2 years ago, and you know, it's amazing, for 50 plus years, people were waiting for this decision for the court to overthrow Roe v. Wade. And maybe some of us, and I'm included, were a little naive, or we thought that this would kind of settle, the issue, would go back to the states, let them decide. And, people would say the court has spoken. If we want to have abortion in some of these states, we've got to work to change the laws. But if we don't, we can go to these states where it is legal. I thought it would kind of be kind of settled, but unfortunately it is not. There have been other issues that have been introduced in this, including IVF, and now the Democrats are trying to scaremonger and say Republicans are trying to outlaw IVF. Just saw a study over the weekend that said since the Dobbs decision, abortions have actually gone up. 60-70% of those abortions are from mifepristone, where you can do the abortions at home. So Roe's been overturned, but abortions are up, and the rancor is up as well.
You know, and those of us who value life, we need to fight back, and we need to promote life. And because the Democrats and the left have obviously chosen to be the party of death. They're a death cult. They use it as a cudgel, as a wedge, as a fundraising mechanism. It's disgusting. It's horrible. This is also the party that wants to transgender kids and destroy them. It seems like everywhere you turn, the Democratic Party these days is hell-bent on destruction and death. And that's why I think the Republicans have to embrace life. I saw that our friends at the America First Policy Institute unleashed an entire agenda on this, the HOPE agenda. And this is something that Republicans haven't always had an answer for. I love the fact that this agenda includes adoption and foster care, health care access, support for women, financial support, equitable company policies, because if we're on the right going to promote life, we can't just say we just want the babies to be born. And that's the end of the story. Mm. We have to be supporting an entire culture of life around this. Maybe we can get Ashley Hayek or Brooke Rollins back on from AFPI and talk about this. It's a pretty aggressive agenda. I like seeing this because it seems like Republicans are scared to talk about this. And as you just pointed out, we can't be, because the issue is not going away.
And that's why we have groups like Thrive and yes, the Vitae Foundation that go beyond just trying to take care of the mother's physical needs, try to take care of their emotional needs of the child and mother as well, and are there after the birth and provide for materials. And as we've seen the events that we've gone to with Thrive, we've seen where these mothers have gone back to school and have gained an education to better themselves, so they're not dependent on the system and can show their child that you can and make it here in this country.
Mm-hmm. My old producer, Chris, who you know well, producer Cass from Springfield, she is a product of rape. She was born to a very, very young teenage mom. Cass has grown up into an incredible young woman, and Cass now works for Vitae, the Vitae Foundation, and she is one of the best spokespeople they ever have gotten. I'm so glad she got that position. Mm-hmm. It's a career calling for her. She says, "Don't you dare ever call me an exception. I am anything but." So those are the kind of people that we need on the front lines advocating for this. You know, we've used his name several times in vain today. Producer Joey V is here in studio. We will let him use his microphone today. How you doing?
Thank you, guys. You know, I was doing some dog sitting this weekend, and that's why today's streaming image is of you guys walking some dogs. I was inspired. And all the songs are dog related. So leave that to your imagination. Whatever you think I might play, I just made surprise here.
And I want to ask you also, are you trying to tell me and Tim something today? Because I think Jesus of Nazareth is on the screens here in front of us. I've been watching Jesus. I think he walked on water about 5 minutes ago, the scene I saw. Are you trying to tell us something, Joey?
Yeah, why are we watching Jesus here? Yeah.
Tony,
it's okay.
You know the show before us, right?
Yes.
Columbo
yes.
and Katie. Tony is obsessed with seeing himself. He actually watches the live stream while he's doing the show. It's embarrassing.
That's Jesus.
And then as soon as the live stream ends, YouTube just picks something else. So this may be my mother-in-law's favorite show, The Chosen. I don't know.
It may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me turn on Fox. You know, I know how Jesus is boring. Let me turn on Fox Business.
The Chosen's a good show. I've been watching that. Chris mentioned the debates. We're also talking about the fact that Joe Biden continues to destroy America through his very own policies. We've had these illegal alien crimes, which have been, they're hardly describable on the radio, but they're people need to start talking about them. Jim Talent, Chris, is going to join us at 4:25 to discuss all of those issues and more on our shores and beyond. Chris's Corner at 4:45, Speaker Stump Speech at 5:07. Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor at Red State. We'll see what Red State's got planned. They always have a lot of great stuff planned for debates and election nights and things of that sort. And I want to give you guys some credit and shout out. I was a listener to our own show on Friday as I was gone for a couple days because I was helping State Senator Nick Schroer out with one of his PAC events. We had a great golf outing. Thank you to former Senator John Lamping, who was our host out in Boone Valley, a beautiful place out in between Defiance and Augusta. And then I jumped on Highway 94, right? 94 Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get hardly any reception on 94. So I listened to us on the app and I listened all the way over to Jefferson City before I headed south to the lake for a little meeting I had to go to Friday night and Saturday. And I loved, of course, I loved the whole show. I loved the segment you guys had with Rick and Jake, with Rick Pogue and Jake Kestner. I thought that was fantastic.
And I had to practically drag Tony Colombo in the studio. I was like, Tony, come on in, man. We're going to have a ball. We got the guys in. It'll be a party. It's Friday. I had to pull his teeth practically to come in. And then afterwards, he was like, yeah, that's a good segment. I had a good time.
Chris, it was a great idea, and you guys sounded awesome. You really did.
It's fun. We love Rick Pogue and Johnny's and Mr. Kestner and all the folks, good folks out there.
I thought you did a nice job. You know, Rick always gets very excited, and I thought you did a nice job addressing a ton of different issues.
Right.
And Rick just sounded, man, he is dialed in this year, right? This is one of his years where he thinks, like us, that America is really teetering on the edge. And so I really enjoyed that segment. I think it was fantastic.
You know, Rick Pogue has been in so many successful businesses. He's a serial entrepreneur. I think he's got kind of a political consultant itch bug. Mm-hmm. And he may open up a political consulting firm here in the near future. Who knows? I can see him doing that.
He just might indeed. Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about topic for today's Chris's Corner?
Yeah,
445?
We're going to talk about, we got the upcoming debate, of course, Thursday between Joe Biden and President Trump. Polls are all over the place, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the lead up to this debate on Chris's Corner at 445.
Mm-hmm. Excellent indeed. And then I have, let's see, I had something. Oh, yes. I have proof positive.
Proof.
Courtesy of our good friend, Congressman Eric Burleson from the southwestern regions of Missouri, the congressman from the 7th Congressional, as to why Joe Biden is, or as proof as to how Joe Biden is trying to destroy the U.S. middle class. Joe Biden's coming for you. And so we'll talk about that at 5:07. Susie Moore, of course, with Red State at 5:25. And we will prepare you for Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors, of course, follows Chris and I every Monday through Friday at 6:05 p.m.
Larry's got a sweet pair of snakeskin boots that I saw he had on today. Those are some nice, nice boots.
Does he show them off for the camera? Do we know?
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, I just see him, and, you know, Larry emits absolute coolness.
He does.
Because of who he is, and just having those boots on just kind of accentuates.
Mm-hmm. If you would like to see Larry, Chris, I, Joey, the morning show guys, Vic and Ken, Colombo and Katie, Jeff Allen and Joe Rush are intrepid managers and operators here at the station. If you want to see all of us, we're all going to be together. It's going to be like an all-star game. Tomorrow night, we're going to be at the Saving America event one last time. Folks, you got less than 24 hours to snag tickets. Newstalkstl.com. I'm repeating this a few times because, seriously, we've done better than we thought we would with this. There's not that many seats left. You're going to want to grab tickets while you can. If you were putting it off, tomorrow night you're going to want to be in the cool confines of the Funny Bone in St. Charles. It's going to be spectacular. It's a really awesome venue at the streets of St. Charles. You can get dinner before, you can get drinks afterwards, because there's tons to do in and around this venue. Thanks so much to West News Magazine, Mid Rivers News Magazine, and the St. Louis Young Republicans.
Can't wait to see everyone on Thursday and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Busy week for all of us here at News Talk STL. The last full week of June. Amazing. We're about to wrap up the second quarter. I can't believe it. And as of tomorrow, we'll be 42 days away. We will be 6 weeks away from the Missouri August primary, which we'll be talking about quite a bit over the next many weeks
ahead. Yeah, we need to get into debates and who ain't showing up for debates and all of that. There is a debate scheduled for tonight between the Attorney General Bailey and his opponent Will Sharpe, the Federalist Society, Tim. And I think I read somewhere that the Attorney General is not going to show up because he feels that it may be a little tilted in Will Sharpe's favor, because I think Mr. Sharpe has support of a member of the Federalist Society.
He does.
And yes. So they're feeling that that may not be a good place for us to be tonight.
Interesting. The NRA came out with its Missouri primary election ratings and endorsements as well. If there's anything notable in that, I'll take a look at those and let you know about that as well. Let's get to a quick break so we can bring in former U.S. Senator and Chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Leadership Council, Jim Talent, next to discuss everything that we just talked about and more. He's up next at 101.9 94.1, the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show at News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
In an interview on Israeli TV Sunday, Netanyahu saying the military's focus will now shift to Israel's border with Lebanon ahead of what could be an even bloodier confrontation with the powerful Iranian-backed group Hezbollah in Lebanon. The two have traded airstrikes and rocket attacks for 8 months. Israeli officials, including Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, are now in Washington lobbying for heavy munitions. That as the spat between Netanyahu and the White House seemed to escalate Sunday, with the Israeli leader doubling down on his accusation that the U.S. is withholding weapons.
4:30 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, is due to address a joint session of Congress on July 24th. We'll ask our next guest about that next. Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent and chairman of the Reagan Institute.
I'm watching this and just wondering, you know, who's running the show.
This Jim Talent segment is brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri.
Senator, welcome to the show. Before we get to the Middle East and everything that's happening there, I want to tell you, last Thursday we had Michael Reagan on, and as a guest, president, the son of the 40th president, of course, and we had him on talking about his book that he wrote last year about his father and the lessons that he was taught, and he had a very warm shout out to you and spoke very highly of you and said he thinks he campaigned for you at one time, sir.
Yeah, I believe he did. And, you know, I'm a little embarrassed because I haven't gotten around to reading that book yet, but I'm sure it's really insightful. And I always enjoy reading about the great figures of history. You know, Lincoln, Churchill, and Reagan's right up there. I just encourage your listeners, the more they learn about him, I think the more they learn about those times and about what good leadership really, really means.
Your thoughts on the Middle East here, where the U.S. is withholding weapons, according to Netanyahu, and there may be another front in the war with Lebanon and Hezbollah?
Well, guys, I'm just going to sing a little bit of a different riff on the same old tune. Okay, so in this case, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization, but a very highly developed one. They actually have something you could call an army. And they have about 125,000 to 150,000 rockets of different kinds, some of them really precision rockets. And they've been attacking Israel, I mean, substantially. So just remember, Hezbollah is funded and run, Lebanon's basically funded by Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is funded and run by Iran. And during the Biden administration, we have enriched Iran to the tune of $50 billion in assets we have unfrozen and failing to enforce on some scale. And use that money to their other box. And going to have a war in Israel. You can't let them.
Senator, you're going in and out. Can we give you a call right back or... And
yeah,
we'll
sure.
Okay, and we'll continue the interview.
Yeah,
I think he may have been in that spot or may have got a bad connection. exactly. Yeah, Middle East, Tim, is
it's
blowing
a cauldron.
Up. It is,
yeah.
And I don't know. I feel for Israel having to fight a two-front war, especially with Joe Biden withholding weapons, and the sentiment around the world and the sentiment in our country seems to be turning against Israel and it's for the Palestinians.
Did you guys talk about the story maybe when I was gone last week? I know it popped up a little bit. You know, the media doesn't want to talk about this. You know, Joe Biden announced this big thing, this pier he was going to build. Apparently the pier is like falling apart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. $350 million.
Biden can't do anything right, even when he has unlimited money. I think we got the senator back.
Yeah, we got it back. Tim, I think it's your turn to ask questions.
Very good. Senator, how you doing there?
Yeah, fine. Thank you.
Yeah, we got you loud and clear now.
Yep, perfect.
Senator, you know, you can't even think about helping places like Israel and others around the globe if your own country is an absolute you-know-what show. And, Senator, there has just been... there's been a sickening avalanche of stories over the last couple. I mean, it's been going on for 3.5 years, but it seems like over the last week, I don't know if this is karma coming back to bite Joe Biden or a little bit of divine intervention on the week of the debate, but we have had an unfortunate, horrible, disgusting series of illegal immigrant crime situations, rapes of very young teenage girls, assaults, murders of various different people. I mean, Senator, every day has become a dangerous place in the United States of America, no matter where you are, whether you live in Iowa, Missouri, or one of the border states, because Joe Biden's been plopping illegal immigrants, unvetted, unknown, all over the nation. It seems that the world's prisons are being emptied out in our country every week. This is not a good long-term strategy for the health of a democracy, is it?
No, it's the reason why countries, whether democracies or not, defend their borders, because immigration policy, like all policies, should be planned and executed to benefit the people of the country that you're in. Okay. But you can't execute a policy unless you have one and you control the border, right? In other words, we can argue about who we ought to let in, but there really isn't any reasonable argument against controlling who does come in. In other words, letting in the people you want in and keeping out the people you don't want. And if you don't have that, you're going to get all kinds of elements that nobody would want, including criminals. I tell you, my bigger concern, as terrible as these crimes are the sleeper cells mm-hmm. we're letting in, mm-hmm. The Chinese agents we're letting in, the gangs from Mexico who are setting up shop in American cities, the drugs that are coming over the border and killing Americans. And he's just let them all in. You know, Tim, one of the problems with this when you're out campaigning or talking, you can remember this, is when you get a failure this enormous, it's actually hard to get voters who are not already aware of it to believe that it happened, because they're naturally skeptical that anybody could have done anything so feckless or stupid. So you really have to spend a lot of time telling them, yeah, this is really happening. It's hard to believe, but it is. And so, yeah, it's going to be a big issue in the debate. And, of course, it has to be. And we should remind people that we had the border under control under Donald Trump. It took his people about a year and a half to figure out what statutory authority they had and what policies would control the border. And they put it in place, even though the Democrats wouldn't fund the wall. And we really did have the border under control.
Speaking with Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator and chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. Senator, when you were in the Congress and in the Senate, you dealt many, many times with the National Defense Authorization Act. It is up for authorization this year. And one of the provisions that the Democrats have put into the NDAA is for a requirement for women to register for the draft. Is this a good or bad decision for the readiness of our military?
Well, let me say first that, and I used to get this question all the time, and this issue was part of it, okay? I'm going to be very surprised if we ever go back to a draft. It's really not consistent with the culture of a mature volunteer military. And another problem with it is that the armed forces are so specialized now, so technical, and you draft people for 2 years, or in some cases for like 18 months. Well, it takes that long just to get people trained up to really be able to perform their missions and their specialties. So I don't see a draft coming. If we get one, it's not a good sign if a nation, unless it's in an absolute emergency, is drafting women to die on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes against the grain. So if they're going to do it, they should limit it to specialties that are not non-combat, particularly not ground combat. And I'll just tell you guys that, I mean, the physical demands of sustained ground combat are very, very great. There are many, many men who can't do it, even young men who've been trained and gotten into good condition. It's very difficult for women. And if you're realistic, if you're in ground combat and you get captured and you're a woman, you know what's going to happen. So there's all kinds of reasons not to do this. If we're going to do it, then we should limit the roles. And there are a lot of combat support roles that women are performing now and that they certainly can perform well. But I was never a fan of putting women into ground combat roles.
And Senator, we need a strong and capable military, because it seems like no matter where you look around the globe, there are crises and chaos, as our promo for today's show aptly stated. Senator, back to an earlier statement you mentioned about the threats of terrorism. We see that around the world, it's not just a threat. It's actually happening, and it's happening in places where people might not realize it's happening. Senator, there's a headline today on the news wires where it states that a Russian official cites Islamic sleeper cells as death toll in attacks on synagogues and churches in Russia climbs to at least 20. Senator, this is a situation where the enemy of my enemy is definitely not our friend. Can you explain why the Islamic terrorists, why they would attack United States, Russia, two very different countries? Is it just because they want to destabilize otherwise stable governments all over the globe?
Well, it depends what, to some degree, on what branch of you're talking about. There's been a lot of unrest. This is in the Northern Caucasus region of Russia, and there's been a lot of unrest there, a lot of it coming from Muslims. And some of it is classic terrorism. Some of it is a resentment of Russian rule. It's very embarrassing for Putin, because he's over and over told people that he's the only one who can keep them safe. It's refreshing, by the way, that they're admitting that this is what it is. I would have expected them to blame this on the United States. That's typically what they've been doing, on the United States or on Ukraine. In the Middle East, the issue is, and in many parts of the world, the issue is activated religious fanaticism, well-organized, well-funded, with a view towards ushering in a sort of eschatological Muslim caliphate, okay? And like the Iranians believe this, and they really believe they can do it. They intend to overthrow what we would call the more moderate Muslim regimes, particularly in the Gulf states, obviously to destroy Israel and to attack us with a view towards at least getting us out of the region. I mean, we're sort of the great Satan, even ahead of Israel as far as they're concerned. And the method they've chosen to do it is terrorism of different kinds. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a question, as Biden thinks, of trying to make Iran a responsible regional player. That ain't going to happen. Iran doesn't want peace in the region. They don't want to be a responsible player. They want to come after us and basically everybody else in the region. Right now they're focused on Israel, but believe me, that's not their only target.
Senator, you were a strong proponent for life while you were in the Congress, and you still are outside of the Congress in your private life. I want to get your thoughts on today being the second anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Well, it was correcting a really bad constitutional decision. I mean, you can't read the Constitution, either its text, its history, or its spirit, to include a right to abortion. So the decision was clearly correct. If the Supreme Court had made this a decision like it 50 years ago, it would have saved a lot of lives and a lot of social division, too. So what we have now is the issue has been returned to the states and the political branches, and they are working it out as they would have done 50 years ago. And you're going to see laws, and President Trump's talked about this, and he's right. You're going to see a spectrum of laws that fit the temper and the beliefs of the people in the 50 states. And you're right. I always was pro-life myself. I used to say I look forward to the day when we had room in our laws, as well as in our communities and our hearts, for, you know, all the kids that God gives us. And there are a lot of states that are moving towards that. But from a political and constitutional standpoint, this is the right solution. And I think it'll eventually lower the temperature of this issue as well, which would be a really good thing.
Excellent. Senator, if you're not doing anything this Thursday, we'd love to have you out at Johnny's Hideout. We're having a big debate watch party out there on Thursday in High Ridge. We're doing the show, so if you're bored or don't want to watch the debate at home, we'd love to have you out at Johnny's on Thursday.
Well, I'm going to be at a different debate watch party because the Reagan Institute's having its National Leadership Conference Summit.
Fancy.
And it's going to be in Lake Tahoe.
Oh.
Hey. You're slumming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm a born and bred Midwesterner, and I'm not lying when I say I'd just as soon be with you as get on a plane and go to Lake Tahoe. But I am looking forward to the summit, seeing a lot of friends, and I will be watching the debate. I mean, this is a hugely important event. Mm-hmm. President Trump cannot, I'm not saying he can put the election away, but I think he can take a long step in that direction, and I'm certainly wishing him well.
Well, we wish you safe travels to Lake Tahoe, and we can't wait to get your observations on the debate next Monday, sir.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a great week. Coming up, Chris's Corner, 4:45. We'll have a little debate news. We'll have a little polling news, a little news you can use on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
In the next couple of weeks is going to be Donald Trump's choice for vice presidential running mate. Who do you think it's going to be?
He is going to pick someone who will be more loyal to him than to their country.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw what happened in terms of January 6th, and he is certainly not going to pick another Mike Pence who stands to defend and support the Constitution and is more likely to bring in someone who's going to be a rubber stamp.
4:49 on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. And Vice President Kamala Harris was basically hitting all the themes the Democrats and their surrogates were hitting on the Sunday news shows. Three themes that I took from watching all the shows were, one, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Two, he is a convicted felon. And third, Trump is about himself. And the president of the United, Biden, is about you and the country. Those were the three themes that they were trying to hit. The last thing, they actually said that verbatim. Trump is about himself. President Trump is about you and the country. Before we get in the Christmas corner, one thing that just cracked me up. You know, we're going through a heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to bring out global warming, all of that.
It's June.
So, of course, they had Bill Nye on.
Are you kidding me?
And you know what? I caught this because I listen to these programs instead of watching them. And they don't call Bill Nye a scientist. You know what they call him?
A
science educator.
Because he's not a scientist.
Because he's not a scientist, right? Exactly. But I wonder if people catch that.
Uh-huh.
That they're not calling him a scientist. They call him a science educator.
Uh-huh. Did he stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night?
I have to be honest with you, Tim. Usually I can listen to this stuff because, you know, I want to know what the other side has to say and all that. I just couldn't stomach listening to all of that global warming, green propaganda mess, and I didn't even listen to it.
Because
I apologize.
It's bunk, you know? It's,
no.
it's bunk, and the arrogance of these people that they think, well, it's not arrogance, it's a conspiracy,
yeah.
Right? Because they want to convince us that if we just do what they say,
yeah,
while they get rich, like Al Gore did, then we'll save the planet. Just give them all of our money, taxpayer money, other men, and they'll take care of it. It's all a complete hoax.
And you know, honestly, I think that if his title was a scientist, I think I would have been a little more amenable to listening to him. But the fact that they can't call him a scientist and they call him a science educator just completely turned me off. And I was like, what do I want to hear from this guy for? He may have educated himself on a bunch of left-wing propaganda and now he knows everything. I don't know if what he has educated himself on is correct or fair and balanced. It was an absolute joke.
Hey, Chris, I noticed something this weekend that you said a few weeks ago. I watched the entirety of Meet the Press. I put myself through that pain. Although I was happy because Kristen Welker wasn't on. Some other dude who I have no idea who that guy is. He did a decent job filling in. But Chris, I noticed when they're talking to somebody on the center right side of the aisle. Well, let me do this. When they're talking to somebody on the left side of the aisle, it's softball after softball after with no follow-up.
And even help them. They're like,
help them.
If they are made a mistake like, they'll like correct them. You mean this, right? Or
right.
When this, they'll even give help them.
And on the right side of the aisle, it's something that drives you and me and probably our entire audience nuts. First of all, it's this brutal cross-examination and they fact check them in real time
over and over.
And they're usually wrong.
Isn't it sickening?
It's disgusting.
It is. And I tell you, the worst at it, the absolute worst at it is Margaret Brennan at CBS News, because she already comes across as kind of condescending and kind of, I know everything and I'm part of the Beltway elite and you unwashed masses are ignorant. She already comes across like that, but she is the absolute worst when it comes to the fact checking. She has no shame at all. She'll go 3-4 questions of just fact checking someone over and over and over. And it's like, Margaret, just go to the next question. I don't need you to fact check me. If I suspect something that he's saying is not correct, let me look it up for myself. I don't need you to do that. And to me, Tim, when they do that, they're telling the American people that they're stupid.
Yes.
That American people are not smart enough to be able to see through BS or maybe want to go cross-check some of the sources and find out for ourselves. They basically tell the American people we're stupid. Mm-hmm. And it's very condescending.
And I should say it's their version of fact-checking.
Yeah.
It's more narrative spinning. It's narrative spinning is what it is. Sorry, I didn't mean to take us down that tangent.
No, you're good.
But I noticed that yesterday like nobody's business.
It's sickening. I'm telling you. And a close second is Kristen Welker. But the queen of fact-checking in real time is Margaret Brennan, CBS Face Nation. She's the absolute worst. Joey, let's do a little Chris's Corner.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
From the New York Times has a headline that says that Biden's lead with women is smaller than Trump's with men, a warning for Democrats, according to this article by Ruth Engelnick. His current standing among women is the weakest lead a Democrat has had since 2004. Trump's support among men has recovered and is back to the double-digit lead he had in 2016. Biden's drop in support has been particularly pronounced among black and Hispanic women. Even as abortion and democracy are key issues for a small but meaningful segment of women, concerns about inflation continue to play a more central role. And it's what James Carville said in 1992 and what you hear every election, that it doesn't matter what your race, your demographic, your station of life in, everyone is concerned about prices, they're concerned about their children's education, is concerned about their retirement, and the economy is stupid, as Carville said, seems to be playing out here. The fact that Biden is already losing a lot of support among African Americans as a whole, but for him to lose a significant amount of black women vote is huge, because black women, I think, are the Democrats' most consistent demographic that shows up to vote out of all of them. And if he's losing support among black women, that is very, very bad for President Biden. Another quote here, another poll here from Axios. As many Hispanic voters in 7 battleground states trust former President Trump on immigration, 41%, as they trust President Biden at 38%. There's a 2.6-point margin of error, so basically it is tied. But the fact that Hispanic voters trust Donald Trump as much as they do Biden on the border spells very, very bad news for Joe Biden. CBS News YouGov survey of under 30 voters find they're backing Biden over Trump by a 61-38 margin. That's similar to 2020. But the bad news within that for the Democrats is the under 30s don't particularly vote, and they are not very motivated this year to vote because they feel that Joe Biden has let them down on student loans and other things. So I think CBS and the mainstream media know how bad these polls have been for Joe Biden, and they're fishing and looking for all kind of cross jabs to try to look like Joe Biden is doing better. An AARP poll of 44 competitive House districts found Biden with a 5-point lead among seniors. However, Trump led by 13 points among voters aged to 50. You can see they're stretching here because they know that the senior citizen votes, they are the ones that come out and vote. So they're looking for any little thing within these crosstabs to try to find something that is positive for the president. Here's something not positive for the president. In Florida, the Democratic Party, which only a few years ago, they were competitive in Florida, but it's since President Trump has become president, it has become overwhelmingly more red. More than 2 million voters have asked for mail-in ballots for this year's elections compared to 4.3 million years ago. And most of the voters in Florida are Republican now, so that is a bad sign for them. That is Chris's Corner, 507 Speaker's Thumb Speech.
America under attack.
America under attack. Mm-hmm. And at 524, of course, we'll speak with Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor at Red State and host of the More to the Point commentary. We'll talk to her about all of the big headlines on the Red State front page and the upcoming Supreme Court decisions. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Number one for live and local conservative talk, Soros Free Radio.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.